This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine Dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/fine dining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to a Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarro. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is a Funny Feeling Podcast.
Hey, Betsy.
Marcy.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm really good. I wanted to make an announcement for any of our listeners in Texas / the Austin area. We're going to be at the 2018 Austin Sketch Fest.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to do a live podcast show.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. So we're going to be Friday, May 20. I don't know. Wait, why can't I know what day it is? Oh, brother, you guys.
Whatever the Friday is at the end of the month
of
May.
It's Friday, May 25th at 8 p.m. at the Spider House Ballroom.
Ooh, a spider ballroom.
Come see Funny Feeling Live, guys.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
We'll post some ticket information so you can make sure you can come out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you have any friends in Texas or Austin, tell them to come. Funny Feeling Live, May 25th at 8 p.m., Spider House Ballroom.
Yeah.
That was just our promo stuff, right? I mean, it'll be official later, I guess, when I get a real link for the tick.
When we get a real link for what's going on.
Betsy, do you have a spooky story?
Oh, Marcy, I do. It takes place in a very old mining town in Colorado.
Ah, my favorite kind of town.
You love old mining towns.
I really do. I like the smell of mines.
Oh, really?
That cold, damp.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's cool.
It's kind of nice. Like, especially in the summer.
Uh-huh.
When you, like, go visit a mine, and you're like, ooh, it's, like, cooler.
Yeah, I think it's great.
It's a cool. It's
and sweet. Also terrible and scary, I guess.
Very horrifying, because you never know when that shit's going to crumble. But whatever.
Hey, so not our problem.
I'm going to tell you about a saloon.
Okay.
In this town called Leadville, Colorado.
Ooh.
Which is like,
it's full of lead.
It's full of lead. It's constantly competing to be the highest town in the United States.
With who?
With this other town that's very close to it that I grew up by called Alma.
It is Alma. Who's winning currently?
I don't know who's
winning.
How
did they get higher?
I mean, they build a building or something. I don't know how it works.
So if they're like, go put a mound of dirt on the top of
the mountain. We'll be tallest. but it's a very high town at 10,200 feet.
Woof.
Is like the base of it. And then it's like, so my parents moved there when I was in college just for a few years. And I would come home to visit and you would like walk up the stairs in the house and I would be winded for a while because it was hard to fucking breathe, man.
I mean, yeah.
It was tough, but it's a fun little weird little town.
You have to adjust your baking temperatures as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember actually when I first, because I grew up in the mountains of Colorado, and I remember when I first, and I went to school in the mountains of Colorado.
Yeah, she's a mountain woman,
guys. I'm a mountain woman. But when I first moved to California, I remember making pasta, and my water boiled so quick.
You're like,
and
holy
I, and I called my parents. I was like, you guys, my water is boiling so fast. And they're like, oh, yeah, because you're not high up in the altitude now. I'm like, oh, cool.
You know, it's really funny. I'm from a very low-lying area.
Yeah.
I'm from Louisiana.
Yeah.
So we're below sea level where I'm from. So out here, it seems like it takes a long time to boil.
Well, let's go up to the mountains because it takes forever.
The altitude is high. I'm at the foothills of the Los Angeles mountain, like the Santa Monica mountain range now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's so crazy how high the altitude is here.
Yeah. Do you have trouble breathing?
I mean, yeah. But I need to really get my weight under control. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Terribly fat. Okay, let's go.
No, you are. You're doing great.
Thanks. I'm beautiful.
So yeah, it's an old like ghost town that was built because there was a bunch of silver all around it.
In Leadville. Very misleading.
Yeah. So it was a huge silver town, and like at one point in the 19th century, it was the second most popular town in the state of Colorado, to where they were thinking of making it the capital of Colorado. Like, it was a huge booming
town.
Just
so many people there.
Yes. So many people there looking for silver. Like, and they're...
You never had to worry about werewolves. Never had to worry about vampires.
That's why people wanted silver.
Yeah.
Is to werewolves. Get rid of those werewolves.
Shoot them with a silver bullet.
Get them. And now it feels like kind of a ghost town. Like, there's a community, but it is like, oh, this is
there's a lot of empty buildings and...
This is an old place where you would be blown away to hear, like, it used to be very popular. But it's a cool
little
town. A
lot of places with wooden porches.
Lots of wooden porches. But it's a cool town, and it's haunted as shit.
Nice.
One of the most haunted places is an old saloon. And it's still kicking. And we would go whenever we would visit my parents. And we would go to the saloon. And it's fun. It's a funny... old-timey, spooky saloon. And in 1879, this saloon opened across from the Tabor Opera House, built by this mining millionaire dude named Horace Tabor. And he supposedly hid his money in this saloon so that his ex-wife couldn't get to it.
Man.
And he divorced her to marry a way younger lady named Elizabeth Baby Doe McCourt.
No.
That's just a little history for you.
Horace is a rich person's name.
Horace is, yeah, you were born rich.
Because if you were poor and your name was Horace, they would call you Porous so fast.
Oh, of course.
Porous.
Porous Horace. You're so porous, Horace.
Can't even afford a walking chorus.
Where it's like Oliver, and that's who, like, people just... are like, oh. Oliver.
Yeah. Oliver.
Oh, more. Give me some more.
All right.
More. Okay. So now for the spooky stuff. Okay. There are apparently a bunch of ghosts hanging out at this Silver Dollar Saloon. That's what it's called.
Ooh.
It's called the Silver Dollar Saloon. And there are photos around the saloon of like ghosts of what people think. Yeah. Or
wait, so like of like they've caught an apparition on film?
I think. You know,
okay. Okay.
I think.
So like a shadowy man or something. But not like,
yeah.
Because I thought maybe at first you could mean like deceased people who they believe are haunting the place.
I think they're also those photos too. Okay. Of just like,
so mixed bag.
Mixed bag. There's a noose hanging above the main bar because their legend has it that there are like some good guys hanged a bad guy in the saloon and they just let the body hang there for a while.
Then they're not that good.
I know. I mean, this is the Wild West.
People are like,
where
that's
everybody's
honorable.
Fucking.
To leave a body hanging yes. in full view of children, that's honorable.
That's just downright decent of everybody. and people say that they've seen this noose swinging crazy, like in the early hours of the morning and stuff, which is so creepy. Yes. Also, employees and customers have claimed to see Horace Tabor, our main man, cuddling with his young wife, Baby Doe, at the corner of the bar. And a lot of times when people have made these claims, there's a blizzard happening, which is wild because in 1935, Baby Doe froze to death in her cabin because she ran out of firewood. Ooh, and like there, you can go visit Baby Doe's cabin. Like, she's kind of a staple to like the Leadville community and
How'd
stuff.
How'd she run out of firewood? I guess I mean, her rich.
If there's a blizzard, you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
I spent a Christmas up in Leadville when I came home from college or even LA. I can't remember. And there was a huge blizzard. Like, one of my sisters couldn't make it in. Because there was such a bad blizzard, you couldn't even fly into Denver. Mm-hmm. But and then the roads to Leadville closed. And I had just snuck in. Like, my flight got in, like, the day before it happened. And so for Christmas dinner, we, like, went to the grocery store, and there was, like, nothing. Because none of the food trucks could get up.
Oh, no.
To the mountains and stuff. It was wild. So you're
like, I guess we're eating frozen pizza.
Yeah.
This is the best Christmas ever.
I mean, I had a frozen pizza for this year for Christmas, and it was amazing.
I mean, it sounds.
It's the best.
Amazing to me.
And so that's pretty much the Silver Dollar Saloon in Leadville.
Oh, gosh.
There's like a very haunted hotel there where, like, on TripAdvisor people are like, haunted.
Also,
which maybe we'll talk about.
Since we're gonna be in Austin, should we stay at one of those haunted hotels?
Yeah, Driscoll.
The Driscoll.
Driscoll's nice.
Oh, fun.
And haunted. And we should interview somebody who works there.
Yeah, if you guys have any tips.
Or a historian.
Any hot tips on what you want us to be doing in Austin in May?
Let us know.
Let these two hoes
know. We'll be there for a day.
These two hoes know. But what's in Leadville?
Leadville,
and
Colorado.
The Silver Dollar Saloon.
The Silver Dollar Saloon.
I really like that. I like an old ghost town.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
They're fun. And Leadville's cool. I don't know if it's still there. I'm sure it is. There's a great restaurant called Quincy's where like Monday, Wednesday, Friday was prime rib night, and then Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday was like filet mignon.
Ooh.
And that's all it was. Like, what you ordered was just the size of whatever of that cut.
Oh, so you can't get anything else?
You can't get anything
else.
That's
what we're cooking.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's fun.
It was really delicious.
We gotta go. Oh, there's so many places we gotta go.
We gotta go. Colorado is a fun. We gotta go to Colorado.
I think that I've spent a little time in Colorado and I like it.
It's the coolest.
Once I ate snow in Colorado and I got diarrhea for a long time.
Why'd you eat snow? I mean,
I didn't know no better.
Well, I've eaten snow. I ate snow.
Yeah, but
you gotta make sure it's clean.
I guess it won't. It was just freshly snow, like fallen though.
Then I feel something else gave you diarrhea.
Okay.
Maybe the altitude?
I think it was a ghost.
Yeah, the ghost gave you diarrhea.
That was really cool. Guys, how about you do us a favor?
Yeah.
Why don't you go on over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe,
rate,
review, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Rate us on there. Rate, review, subscribe.
Tell your friends.
Help us out.
Help us. If you have any scary stories.
You send them to us?
Send them to us. You can do it through a voice memo or through an email. We'll read them.
Yeah. Send it to funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Thanks, Betsy.
Of course.
We are very excited to have our guest today. You've seen him on MTV. And
MTV.
He also has a podcast called Infotainment.
That's right.
Nice.
I got it.
That was good. We usually
fuck it up.
Mess it up every time.
No, nailed it. Perfect.
Morgan Evans, thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm very scared.
You should be. We're terrified.
You do have one streak of white hair.
Yep.
For being so scared.
You turned into Storm.
Yeah, straight up Storm.
Good.
Propecia.
Tell us a little bit about what your podcast is.
It's called That's Infotainment with Morgan and John. on. I do it with my buddy John Dalton, who works at the Emmys, like the TV Academy.
Uh-huh.
And he does like the permanent record over there. So he kind of like interviews different people and, you know, gets it for the permanent record. So they do these like 4-hour interviews with like, yeah, he did one with like Gary Shandling. That's amazing.
Holy shit.
And so, yeah, each week we just pick a different kind of like obscure old film each and talk about it. So we'll do like, we just did a whole episode on The Last Picture Show by Bogdanovich, or we do like Leo McCarey movies from the 30s. It's great. It's really fun.
Very like cinema file stuff.
Yeah, then. Totally. We have like 8 listeners.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. Like, it's just really fun.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
What would be like, because I have been wanting to try to like get, I don't want to say get back because I don't know if I was ever into it, but
yeah,
like
sure.
Wanting to check out some cool older movies.
Yeah.
What's like your number one go to?
That well, people have to see.
Well, the ones I like tell people to watch, because I think people get really off put by the like 4:3 format and the black and white.
Yeah.
Kind of how it looks kind of different, is like to go back and look at old Hitchcock movies now.
Yes.
Because they're all on Blu-ray and they look gorgeous. Oh. Like, so they're beautiful scans
yeah.
of film. I mean, film hasn't really progressed, you know, much. Yeah. Better
yeah,
than
yeah.
it is now. So you can get really gorgeous prints of stuff like Psycho is
a
great one.
Oh my God.
Or even just like noir stuff like Kiss Me Deadly is really good. And you
yes.
see like a 20-year-old Cloris Leachman. You know,
holy
it's so cool.
Shit. I love her so much.
She's fucking awesome.
Kiss Me Dead?
Kiss Me Deadly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
I've like yeah. recently really have been wanting to get into film noir.
Yeah, I think
noir
because
it sounds
like,
so fun.
Oh, totally.
When the
and
Maltese
kind of
Falcon
like.
And stuff.
Yeah, right? Kind of like. Right. Oh, what's the word? I'm like
very Hollywood,
like fun yeah. Lifetime movies.
Kind yeah, of. They, well, they're very yeah. They can be really heightened and dramatic
yes,
like that, where
yeah.
it's almost like opera or something. But then other ones are like really gritty and realistic.
Yes.
And what I love about them is that like no matter what time it came out, a good mystery is a good mystery.
Yes,
and so you
yeah.
can get totally compelled by it and totally fall into it.
It's, oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
I feel like a film idiot. I don't know enough about film.
I don't know a lot, but I want to learn. I want to learn more. I want to learn more.
You want to learn
more? I want to learn more, dude.
You guys watch a lot of Tyler Perry stuff?
Oh, my God. I did see Acrimony.
I saw Boo.
I loved it.
I
saw Boo. We saw Boo together.
Isn't it funny that it's not a Halloween movie? It's like Neighbors, right? It's a
yeah.
it's a movie about a woman that lives next to a partying house of kids.
Yeah.
It had
yeah.
nothing to do with
yeah.
scary
it's
stuff
just,
at
there's,
all.
Yeah. There's a Halloween costume element,
yeah.
and that's it.
Yeah.
And then, I guess there's like, someone in the house.
Yeah.
It's so,
it's so
weird. It was just marketed like a Halloween movie.
I feel like all of Tyler Perry's movies are very interesting because you're like, this is a first pass, right? And also, like, any movie that Madea's in, she's not like a part of the plot in
mm-hmm.
any way. She doesn't move the plot forward.
No.
She,
yeah.
So she's never.
She comments on the plot.
She's
of.
Never necessary, but she's the only watchable part of any movie.
Very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I
great.
Really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Ugh.
I like waiting through 20 minutes of boring scenes to watch like a 35-minute Madea scene with no cuts.
Yeah,
no
yeah
cuts.
Just exactly like a Madea play. It's great.
Oh, so good.
It's great.
So we always start this podcast by asking what, if anything, do you believe about the paranormal?
Well, okay, so I'll preface this by saying I've always been super skeptical. Like,
yes.
I've forever, my entire life, been like, no fucking way.
Mm-hmm.
When you die, you're dead. And that's, you know,
yep.
informed most of my life because
okay.
that's horrifying. That's a horrifying thought, right?
Yeah, it's
is that, that's
very scary.
Wait, what part's horrifying?
That you just are dead and,
oh, yeah,
done,
that's
and you're,
horrifying.
There's
it's over.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so my whole life I've thought that. And
too scary.
Yeah, and then I moved into this building, and I'll tell you about it. And,
oh, my
and
God.
And it kind of changed my mind in a sort of a serious way.
It's like a love story where someone's like a cynical person who doesn't
I'll
believe
never
in love.
Fall in
and
love.
Then they meet the person of their dreams. This is the ghost of your dreams.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's romantic.
So there were just like a few weird things that happened, and it definitely kind of like shook me, and I think that as time has gone by, I've tried
yeah.
to like rationalize it and justify it. Whereas like in the moment and that whole like, you know,
so,
year or so, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
skeptic for how many years of your life or until what year?
Probably like till I was like 23, 22,
yeah.
23.
Okay. Okay.
And then on top of that, I think I kind of maybe believe in aliens and I think Roswell probably happened.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go from,
being a skeptic for the years where you should be your silliest,
mm-hmm.
and then at 23 you hit a wall.
Yeah,
something happens,
and yeah. now it's silly time.
Now yeah. it's
now it's silly. Time to get real
now it's creepy,
silly.
Silly time.
I guess yeah, yeah. Jump mm-hmm. into it then. So
did you?
Yeah, grow up.
Sorry, you could go ahead.
I was going to say, grow up religious or
no? I was like baptized, I think, and then we never went to
church.
They
were like, he's safe. Yeah.
It was for my grandma, I think.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, I'm baptizing.
So yeah, but I know that some people, you know, like it's interesting. I've gone to some Catholic services and stuff as an adult, just with girlfriends and things, and it's like, oh yeah, you guys straight up believe in like demons and yep. ghosts and
yes.
shit. That'd be kind of crazy, like a strange thing to grow up around, right?
Yeah.
Where you just truly believe that you can get possessed and stuff.
It's yeah. insane.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of people a long time to stop.
Sure, I believe that.
Believing
yeah.
that.
Or I never will.
Never yeah. ever stop believing that.
Yeah, so I never had any sort of basis or background in that. I mean, I loved movies, so I was yeah. always watching sci-fi stuff as a kid. I
yes.
loved ghost horror stuff, but always thought it was fake.
Yeah.
It
yes.
didn't influence me. I mean, I was scared as a kid to like go to bed, but it wasn't because I really thought
yeah,
ghosts
yeah, yeah.
were gonna happen.
Right.
Did you when did you start believing in aliens?
Very young.
Okay, well, great. Yeah.
So I'm from Phoenix, and
oh,
we had this
yeah.
insane thing happen in Phoenix when I was growing up called the Phoenix Lights.
Yes.
Have you ever heard
I've
of these?
I've heard about
yeah.
that.
Tell me about them.
So I saw them. Everyone in town saw
yeah.
them. It's basically like what would happen if an alien invasion were to like actually occur, where it would be on all the news stations.
Yes.
Everyone would have footage of it. Everyone in town saw it. It was like, I think, a mile wide, and it came from over the mountains and went over the town.
Yes.
And you can find it on YouTube.
What were the lights? They were just like...
Well, so it's interesting. I think it probably... To be honest,
a
lot
of individual lights or just like
a lot of people said that it flew over their house and it was like a solid structure.
Yeah, yeah.
But they could like hear it like whirring and stuff.
Oh.
And I think a lot of UFO sightings are probably just like government
yeah.
stuff
yeah.
that we don't know.
Yeah.
Like the F-16 we had forever before we announced it. So there's this like black triangle
yes.
flying through the sky faster than sound.
I'm yeah, sure people everybody's were like what is that?
Oh,
it's a witch.
Yeah.
It's a witch.
It's a witch.
I don't think people were saying it was a witch.
It's
I'm
a fast
pretty
witch.
Sure. Look at that big, fast, fat witch.
So I think a lot of it's that. But it's interesting because at the time, our governor was like, making fun of it, saying it was like helium balloons. He gave a big press conference where he had a guy in an alien mask
helium
come out.
Helium balloons just get so much credit, and they
I
can
know.
Barely do he anything.
He had a dude come out
in
an alien
mask.
Mask.
And it was like all a big joke. And then recently, like within the last few years, he's been like, I'm sorry I did that. I have no idea what the fuck it was.
I just thought,
oh my God.
If I downplayed it, that you guys would feel too stupid to keep talking about it.
Totally. And he, like, had no idea, and I think it's kind of freaked him out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that happened in Phoenix, and then also the Fire in the Sky stuff, which is that guy who went missing, Travis Walton.
That movie is so scary.
I saw that way
Like, a little kind of, like, boring, but that end part, holy shit.
Totally.
I saw it for the first time maybe, like, 4 or 5 years ago, and it fucked me up.
It's pretty horrifying. It's, like, psychologically terrifying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it. I don't know what it
it's
is.
It's, like, based off of a true story, right?
Yeah.
Of, like, a dude who woke up one night, like, at a payphone.
Well, okay, so it was, like, these five loggers up in Heber, Arizona were cutting down trees and stuff, and as they were heading home, they saw this crazy light come over the mountain. And up there, it's very, like, two-lane highway, you know, woods
yeah.
and stuff. And they all got out to, like, look at it, and it took their friend Travis Walton, is what they said, and they came back to town, and everyone thought that they had, like, murdered
they
him.
They killed him, yeah.
Yes.
But they...
I'm having, like, as you're telling the story,
yeah.
a memory of me hearing about it on a podcast.
Oh,
yes.
As I'm on 14th Street in New York City at a Subway.
Not
a Subway
station.
But a Subway sandwich
shop.
Yeah, that's even scarier.
I literally, like, think I listened to this while eating a bad sandwich. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
that's because they all passed polygraph tests. So, not that that really means anything anymore, but
yeah.
at the time, like, you know, everybody was using
those. Murderer, they might be a sociopath, and therefore they do not experience anxiety.
Exactly.
That's like the
yeah.
big,
but that's
like
four of them.
Yeah.
Like it would be four sociopaths, you know.
I would think they birds of a feather flock together.
That's
I don't know if your mother's
true.
Ever told you that, but it's true.
Well, but they didn't murder him because he came back.
Yes.
They found him butt naked in the middle of the winter up in Arizona, which is like freezing cold up there, calling from a payphone. He also passed the polygon test. He had all these markings all over his body. And then what's really weird about it, and the only reason that I think something probably happened, whether it's aliens or government or whatever, is because it's really ruined a lot of these guys' lives.
Yeah.
Like, one of them kind of went nuts by it and apparently just hangs out in the library up in Heber and just reads about UFOs all day, which is what I would do if my friend was
thinking
about UFOs.
Trying to prove, like, it's so scary and sad and just
to
like
just like wrap your mind around what actually happened,
because there is that, like, for me that fear of like, fuck, what if this is, like, what if that's true?
It'd break your brain.
It would break your brain and no one believes you.
Right,
that's so scary.
Totally. And it's like the type of thing where, so you get they buy your life rights for the movie, which isn't a ton of money probably for these guys who are loggers
in
Arizona.
That was like the 70s, right? Or
I think I think the movie came out in like early 90s or late 80s.
Yeah,
or but I think the story happened in the 70s, and yeah, just fucking, it kind of messed with their lives. It's very weird.
But because that happened, you were like, maybe this is...
Well, just kind of growing up around it in Arizona, I think. And in Sedona, too, people just see aliens all the time, they say. And, you know, I grew up near, like, the Boeing like the Boeing airplane place. And so I'm sure a lot of it is, you know, government contracted, you know, fast planes and shit. But just growing up around that is so... It just kind of becomes baked into you a little bit.
So. I guess you gotta tell us.
Tell us when you started to kind of believe.
So, I lived in New York for like 9 years, and I moved into this building right across the street from Prospect Park on the south side of Prospect Park.
I love Parkside Avenue.
Yeah, it was like Flatbush Q stop. And I was like the first person to move into the building. It was a big luxury building. It had been like totally gutted and renovated out. They had, you know, gym and everything. I thought I was getting like the best deal. It was like a view of Prospect Park, everything. So I'm like the first person to move in. My girlfriend hadn't moved in with me yet, and no one was in the building, really. It was just me. And one day I was leaving for work. I'd been there for about a week, and I met this dad and his like son, who was probably like 4 or 5 or something, early in the morning. And they were like, oh yeah, we're just getting our mail, because, you know, we haven't moved in yet either, but we're just here. Nice to meet you. So that'll be relevant in a minute. So I go to work. I come home around like 5 or 6. And I remember very distinctly that I was like writing some shitty joke on Twitter. Like, so I wasn't like zoned out or having like highway hypnosis. Like, I was like using my brain.
That's very funny to me. Like, I remember where I was.
Go find that joke.
I don't remember. I'm sure it was great. I'm sure it was so funny. So I'm like walking down my hallway, and it was a big stretch of hallway. And from behind me, I hear like, a kid running. And I thought it was that kid I met earlier, so I wasn't even afraid or concerned at all. I just, you know, kids have no spatial awareness, so I thought this kid was going to bump into me. So as I'm doing it, and the footsteps are getting closer and closer, I turn my body to let the kid run by, and there's nobody there, and I feel this, like, whoosh, like somebody brushed by me in, like, the Times Square subway station or something.
Sick.
And then my, like, arm felt really weird, and I got really sad. My whole... Like, I just felt so emotionally sad and just shaken. And I was like, what the fuck was that? You know, like, I'd always wanted to experience something, but I never had. And all out of nowhere, all of a sudden. And so, like, I got into my apartment and I felt so fucking weird until I, like, closed the door. And kind of didn't really even tell anybody about it. And then my girlfriend moved into the building, and then some crazy shit would happen too. And then I was like, okay, you have to hear this story. And I told her, and she was like, oh, I have like weird shit like that happened to me here all the time.
Wait, can we take a quick break and then hear that other crazy shit?
Of course.
Awesome.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those. And now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/afunnyfeeling.
Okay, we are back. So, Betsy, do you need to do your bit?
No,
what's your bit?
Just of what a fun break we just had.
Oh, that was a great break.
Wasn't that wild?
Yeah, that was so cool that they opened a Six Flags down here.
That's the craziest roller coaster.
But someone overflowed the toilet, and I had to stay here and clean it up.
Oh, you missed out.
You missed out.
Six Flags
no
was
line day.
Fun.
Yeah,
it wasn't
no
even
day.
Poo.
No line day. Yeah, no, no line day.
You could just run up whoever got to the
coaster. It was awesome.
It was just like the purge for
Yeah, totally.
12 hours to just lose your mind.
Your girlfriend moves in, and then you tell her the story.
Well, so she tells me something first.
Okay.
And then I'm like, okay, well, you need to hear this shit. So,
So
crazy shit would happen. Like, I would be sitting on the couch, and I'd be on my computer or something, and she'd be, like, looking over my shoulder or something. And I'd turn around, and I'd be like, what are you doing? Why are you, like, looking at my computer? And no one would be there. She'd be, like, in the bathroom.
You were like, please don't be a snooping girlfriend right now.
That shit would happen all the time, where, like, you wouldn't even be scared. It wouldn't feel like there's a presence in the room. It would feel like, oh, this is my friend is right next to me.
Yeah,
and then
you
turn and nobody would be there. And then you'd get scared.
Shit. Fuck.
So then one day I get into a cab from the building, and the cab driver goes, I can't believe you live in there.
Oh, no.
Cab driver?
And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
The cab driver was like, ew, nasty. Yeah. You live there? Gross.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's sick.
He was so sassy. It turns out it was Brooklyn's first hospital that they had turned into.
The premier hospital of Brooklyn?
Yeah. I think, like, Michael Jordan broke his leg as a kid and got it fixed there or something, they said.
Nice.
Or, like,
oh, my gosh.
All sorts of
I just made a bad joke about Michael Jordan earlier, too. This is coincidence.
But so, yeah, it closed down in, like, 1994, and then apparently it sat abandoned down there for, like, 15 years.
Oh.
And then they turned it into apartments. And I just, like, as these things started stacking up, I was like, that's very weird. I didn't really know that.
Yeah.
And like, had these experiences and stuff. Just thinking, like, I was living in this new kind of building. Like, I was used to rationalize it to myself by being like, well, it can't be ghosts. I'm in a brand new building.
Yeah, it's a brand new building. Come on.
And then when I actually, like, moved out, and, like, the day I moved out, it's so funny, the New Yorker published an article about how we couldn't keep a doorman for longer than 2 weeks because it was haunted.
Was that true?
Yeah. We
just were like, I don't know. People, there must be door temps.
I would talk to them a bit. Like, I would try to be like, hey, do you ever, like, see anything or whatever?
Yeah.
And a lot of them would be like, yeah. A lot of them said, one of them told me the story about how he gets really freaked out working the night shift because he'll watch the motion sensors go off like down the hallway and then up the stairs. Like, so it looks like somebody's going up to the roof.
Oh my
God. So I just got chills. Yeah. That is so fucking creepy.
And then like so the motion sensor would go off on the roof and he would be like, oh, it's somebody that lives here or something. And then they'd go look and nobody would be there.
Oh my God.
Or like he'd hear the keys jangling of the maintenance guy coming around the corner, and then he would just like never come around the corner. Ooh. And he would like radio him and he'd be like, oh no, I'm outside like having a smoke.
Oh my God.
So there was just like so much happening here, and by the end of it I was like, oh, this is fucking insane.
Something's up.
Also, we'll say doormen of New York are like sort of like the gatekeepers of everything. Like, they see it all. They, like, know everyone's business. Mm-hmm. I've had a doorman save my life before.
Oh, nice.
They're the best. Yeah. And
did you get caught in a door?
I was like, I don't know how to get out of this turning door. someone was following me home.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry.
This guy was he stopped me on the street near, like, Broadway. At least you live on the Upper West Side. And he stopped me on the street and he was like, oh, I just need a couple bucks to get back to New Jersey. I gotta take the bus.
No.
And I was like, I'm really sorry. I don't have anything. But if you go to that store right there, there's a really nice couple. They're open all night. They can help you. And he goes, okay. And then like I started like walking away down my street, but I live like close to the water. So like I knew I was about to get to like a place where no one was going to be there.
Shit.
And I like turned around and I saw him behind me.
Oh,
and
fuck.
I was like, fuck. But then I see this doorman building and I like duck in there and I was like, sorry, I think somebody's following me. And I just live like two more blocks and I just want to wait. And so the guy stepped out and he's like, oh yeah, he's hiding behind a car. I just saw him.
Oh my God.
And he's like, how about this? He's like, why don't you hang out with me for a bit and then I'll walk you home.
Oh,
cause it was like, I used to work at Stand Up New York and I was a night manager. So I wouldn't leave the bar until o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So he waited and walked me home. His name was Marco. So he was so nice.
Marco. So nice.
Talk about real horror.
Yes, real life horror.
Some methed out guy trying to steal my money.
That's so scary. New York.
I guess he thought
scary.
He was going to rob me, maybe. That's what he probably thought.
Yeah.
He was going to punch me in the face.
Yeah.
Little did he know.
What happened to your girlfriend?
Yeah, what were her experiences?
Well, okay, so like we'd be making, say, like mac and cheese, and then the mac and cheese packet would just like go away. Like the cheese would just be gone. And yeah, like it would just be like on the in the kitchen
and you
then
didn't
just,
have
like,
giant rats.
Gone. No, isn't that strange? And then we found one like when we were moving and packing up the place.
Oh,
like in our closet.
Oh my God.
And it was like, what the fuck? And I was like, did you hide this?
Yeah.
Like, did you hide this? And she was like, no.
Were you trying to ruin
why would
all
I hide
snacks?
The best part of the thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, we had to, like, you know, cancel it. We had to cancel the mac and cheese.
Cancel.
Yeah, I'm not eating just straight up noodles.
No way.
I gotta have that
with
powdered
butter
cheese.
And milk, please.
And then
my baby,
she definitely believed it a little more than I did.
Yeah.
We used to go to like old bed and breakfasts and stuff up in upstate New York and around there, like Boston and things. Like, I just love like historical stuff.
Yeah.
And there'd be some weird shit where like she would say that she saw, you know, somebody at the bottom of the stairs just like walk by like in a dress.
Oh, gross.
And then, you know, you have like breakfast with the people that own the house.
Uh-huh.
And we would always like 100% be like, so what, you know, what are the stories? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'd be like, oh yeah, people say they see like a woman at the bottom of the stairs in a dress. And I'd be like, what the fuck?
My God.
Yeah. Always a woman in a white dress.
That was like one of the biggest scares from The Visit. Was old grandma running across the stairs. That fucking scared me.
It is true that a lot of these ghosts are old.
Yeah, right?
I want an 80s ghost.
I do. like a fucking fun, weird
pop, like wearing like a mesh shirt.
Well, just a
like,
hunk.
Instead of hearing chains, you hear like bangly bracelets and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that reminds me, once we went on a ghost hunting tour in Gettysburg.
Oh, cool.
And we were like, oh, this will be awesome because it's a way to kind of see, you know, a lot of these historical sites at night after they're closed because we couldn't hit them all in a day.
Yeah.
And so we show up And it's like this ghost hunting company has purchased an apartment building or like a unit in an apartment building that was like the home of a domestic violence dispute where a guy murdered his wife in the 80s and he's like alive and in jail. And we show up to this place and I'm like, this isn't fun. You know, like we're trying to contact woman who died 20 years ago.
Like we're in Gettysburg.
Yeah, what the
Let's
fuck?
Let's go to a fucking
it?
Battlefield and try to talk
exactly.
to them.
Yeah, that some orphanage or something. Like it was
and
insane.
And they're like, if you listen.
That is. Very
closely.
Funny.
You can hear them arguing about the rent right now.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, like, people, it was so funny, too, because everybody in the tour group wasn't, like, a Gettysburg tourist. They were people who lived there and had their own, like, equipment.
Oh, they were like, we're hunting ghosts.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah,
we're
going to
eviscerate all these ghosts. So do you think that your experience in that apartment building kind of opened you up to...
Yeah, for sure.
So not just believing, but maybe the possibility of being more sensitive?
Well, yeah. I think that I tried to rationalize it to myself, and the way in which that like it's okay with my brain to believe in ghosts is to think that... This goes way back, but when the Big Bang happened, or however our universe started, that so did time, and there's no such thing as time as we know it. So it's like this fourth dimensional thing, and it's like we're a record, and you know we just go through it, which I guess means I don't believe in free will, but it's like we just go through it, and sometimes like the needle skips on the record or something.
Shit.
So it's like there. It's all overlaid sometimes.
Yeah.
And as opposed to, I think some people think that ghosts interact with them, and I've heard stories like that. That's never happened to me. It's just felt like I was witnessing time laid on top of time.
That's really cool.
I venture to say, though, that your first experience was an interaction because it made you feel something.
Totally,
So, like, it, and because here's my theory on what you experience in that. From what I, like, from... Just saying, maybe 400,000 hours of listening to ghost stories.
Mm-hmm. We're not professionals.
I am not a professional. No one pays me.
I don't ever want to be a professional.
No one pays me for this. So, waiting on my check, HeadGum. but there is this like theory in like ghost hunting world or whatever, the paranormal experts, that the reason that ghosts scare people is because they feed off your energy. Mm. So like a fright... a sorrow, that kind of stuff is like, it's a lot of energy. It's a lot of like negative or positive, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's like gives them kind of a boost.
Uh-huh. Whoa.
So that this thing like kind of like sucks some energy out of you.
Right.
Like it brushed right by you and whatever you, it like, it must have like taken, either given you some of its bad shit or just like zapped you of your energy.
That's interesting because when I found out it was a hospital, my first assumption was that I felt so sad because it was like I was sharing that emotion with blew by me because like something it felt like somebody was running down a hospital highway or
something bad happened. Yeah,
yeah, and then I was like, oh, maybe it makes sense that it's people repeating things or whatever.
Yes.
But that's like that's a horrifying way to think about death too.
That is very scary. Like, wait, I gotta do this again.
Yeah, like my mom said that she worked at some restaurant and this kid died who. Was like one of the dishwashers and they would like hear him like banging around back there like doing dishes or something and I was like, so you're telling me that when you die you have to like continue being a dishwasher?
Maybe he loved it though.
Maybe he loved it.
Maybe he was like, man, it really sucks at my house.
Oh my god.
And I love these people that I wash dishes with.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoa.
Yeah, very strange.
Oh, you know what I would definitely if I ever haunt, I'm gonna haunt UCB. And I'm going to annoy them so much, which is every time someone does a tag out, I'm going to clap like it's Second City.
That's very funny. What?
What is that? That's not what we do here.
I'm going to haunt UCB and just constantly scream out pineapple as a suggestion.
I think it's already.
Vagina.
It's already diarrhea. It's already being haunted by.
It's already being haunted. Real quick.
Is there a UCB haunt?
I don't know.
Oh, Frank Garcia Hale did tell us about some New York, UCB New York.
Oh, yes. Some UCB New York stuff, which sounds spooky.
Cool. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
In the new building?
No.
I wonder if there's anything there up in like Hell's Kitchen, though, because it's like
an
old theater, right?
Right?
Yeah.
But people there for UCB Sunset, people have claimed to, we did like an overnight, we didn't stay the whole night, but we did like a late night investigation.
Cool.
And heard some stories because it used to be like a Before it was UCB Theater, it was some other like small theater company, and then upstairs was a church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I heard a story that like one of my students used to be in that theater company, mm-hmm. and said that one day they were like playing loud music upstairs during a performance. So the stage manager went up to like be like, "You have to stop." And they trapped her and locked her in a closet.
Are you fucking kidding?
So they had to call.
Oh my God.
This is like maybe like 10 years ago or something, or like 15. So they had to call the cops to get her out. She was fine.
Yeah.
But
what the fuck were they doing?
It was just
up
like
there?
A weird church.
Ew.
Up there.
Yikes.
That like people have said was like a Satanist church, but I think it was more like maybe a weird full gospel, like one of those sects of like whatever. And that they're also like downstairs in all the production areas, all the rooms that you never see, mm-hmm. you know, all those, you know, in the middle of UCB there's like 30 rooms you've never seen, or that, you know, you wouldn't go to those rooms. I think were like a rehab facility for
I remember
elders.
Hearing something that
for like people like coming, like a physical rehab.
Somebody could
so there's
have died,
some shit going on.
So a lot of weird shit. And Billy Merritt, although he's a known liar, has said that he...
known liar. Billy Merritt, known liar,
has heard like when no one else is in the rooms, like laughter down the hallway
so
in
creepy.
An empty room.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what you got to check out? And I want to talk to you about movie studio hauntings in a second. But you know what you need to see is there's this dude who goes down... abandoned mineshafts YouTube.
Too scary.
Oh,
and,
no.
Most of them aren't scary. Like, I mean, it's scary because he's like doing it alone with like a headlamp on, and you can also die from like carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
But
he brings a bird.
He brings a little meter that you hear beeping, which is so scary. Just like going down a dark hallway with
that
the light on.
That is so fucked up.
And they have all this graffiti in there from like the 40s and 50s.
Yes.
It's called, I think his channel is called Exploring Underground Caves and Mines. I think that's like what it's called.
Pretty spot
that's
on.
A good name.
Pretty spot on.
Yeah. And
you
they all have like.
Call our podcast that?
Yeah.
They all have like millions of views. And most of them are just like about mines. And oh, this is really cool. People used to make graffiti with their carbide lamps. He's really, you know, knows what he's talking about. And you find, you know, crazy shit from the 30s and 40s down there or even earlier. And then there's like only a couple where they're scary. And he is totally shaken by them. It seems so real. Because otherwise, like, you'd think every single episode
would
be like about ghosts.
Yeah.
And it's there's only a couple. And one of them is he goes down. He's, you know, you're 4,000 feet in the earth
so
in a
scary.
Mine that nobody's been in for probably like 100
so
years.
So scary.
And he's down there, you know, with his flashlight. And he's kind of just reviewing the flashlight and walking around. And then he just stops. And you just hear,
no.
And that's not what he does. So it's like, you know that it's not like, he's not adding that.
Yeah, he's like,
that's
is that
so
snakes?
Gross.
He's like, is that,
yeah.
He's like, it's not wind. He's like, it doesn't sound like wind.
And
then it just stops. Like, it just is like,
no. Ew.
It's so creepy. And then he starts walking again. He's like, all right, let's, I'm going to get out of here. And then it's like, what?
Oh, no.
And then people online have tried to analyze it. And it's like, turn the light off, turn the light off. Or like, I am a shadow. It's
anytime
so creepy.
There's ever in like any kind of paranormal investigation,
that's so scary.
Yeah,
I can never make out any words. I think I probably have hearing loss, but but I never like make out anything. Although I will say, oh my God, someone messaged us recently. One of our listeners messaged us about the Amanda Sparrow Larg Teague, whatever her name is, the lady who married a ghost. We interviewed a lady who married a 300-year-old pirate spirit.
Uh-huh.
And
I saw the pictures from their wedding.
Yes. And so we interviewed her over Skype in Belfast, and someone heard a child laughing at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard knocking, but like people are hearing different things in the episode that we did not. Nothing spooky happened while we were talking, except for that there was a little like interference at some point.
But
and the like the video,
Skyping.
Yeah, the video went down.
Yeah,
and then,
sure.
And then she was like, "That might be my husband. I don't know." But other people have heard weird things. So if you have, tell us about it. Anyway,
yeah, that's very interesting.
That like.
That is so creepy.
Very, very creepy.
They do that really well in the newest Ouija movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where, like, the eyes are in the back of the head. It's just like...
Wait,
it's so scary.
This is not scary. It's weird. But my neighbor does voiceover work, and she was saying there's a whole industry of people who do background voiceover work.
Oh, yeah.
So what it is
awesome.
Is all the conversations you hear in crowded places... Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, like
people have
group?
To do that.
Yeah,
because they don't just get the audio day
no,
of
it's like
because
ADR.
It's yeah. So like literally, people get hired to like have a conversation that no one could hear.
Yeah,
it would be like in the background of a restaurant.
That's
like,
awesome.
Did you get the kids? Well, I didn't. Well, you should have like that. And she was like, people like, and it's like a small little niche community yeah. of people who do
I
that
bet,
over
yeah.
and over, but they have to improvise and stuff.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's what a job. That would be such a
that
sweet
would be a
gig.
Fun job.
Oh, so fun.
But you kind of have to every now and then, like you have to watch it. So it's like just doing ADR, like be like, oh, she's looking upset now. So I'm upset. Yeah, my wallet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? I forgot.
Oh, well, I was going to mention. So. Have you heard any like stories about like the movie studios and how scary and haunted those are?
Little things here and there, yeah. but not tell us, please.
Well, so I worked at it used to be called LA Center. No, not LA Center Studios. What was it called? Sunset Las Palmas is what it's called now.
Yes. Oh, I know it. I know it. Yeah.
yeah. It's where they shot the pilot for I Love Lucy and some other things were shot there. Like At Midnight was there, if you'd ever been
okay.
to
yes.
At Midnight. And that's an old, one of the first studios here. It used to be Zoetrope. Francis Ford Coppola bought it and then, you know, his movies flopped and so he had to sell it. But yeah, so before that, it was this old studio and everybody who worked there, because that's my favorite thing to do anytime I end up on a lot is just to talk to security guards and be
yeah.
like, so what do you, what's going on?
Yes.
What do you see? And pretty much every single person I've ever talked to has a story.
Yes, yeah.
Or they're like, I don't like talking about that stuff. You know,
yeah,
it's
like,
never
oh, okay.
like, no, nothing. It's always like, I don't want to talk about it or here's the story.
He's yes. like, I have to work a whole 8-hour shift after this.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't want to
yeah,
tell yeah. you yeah. my scary stories.
Well, and they were all saying stage 8, which is the stage we were shooting on for Liza Schlesinger's show, was super haunted because a guy had gotten really drunk at a rap party in the 40s and fallen off the rafters.
Oh,
and
God.
So people would have to turn the lights off down there and they would, you know, be closing up the studio and then they'd hear footsteps like running around on the rafters and then they wouldn't be able to close it because you'd have to go investigate and make sure nobody was in there. And no one would obviously
be in there.
Oh,
you little stinker ghost.
Yeah.
He's like, someone should have investigated for me.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. Isn't that scary as fuck?
That's so scary.
Yeah.
Stages with no lights on are horrifying.
Horrifying. Especially when you just hear like,
oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If anyone has ever worked, if you worked much like production stuff where you had to be like first on set.
Uh-huh.
So like I worked. You know, I'm told sort of stories about this, but for a couple jobs, I did like PA work or like producer's assistant. And like I was working for the line producer, and so she would like to get there first. Mm-hmm. So I would often be there as the crew was setting out the stingers Oof. For the day to put mm-hmm. lights up, but it would be like in complete darkness.
Yeah.
Well, I could see guys walking around with flashlights, but like the second that they weren't in my eye line, like
sure.
I was alone in the dark at 3:40 in the morning because right. I needed to be there before
horrifying.
Her.
Yeah.
And it's just like just the scariness of like being like, I know this is a secure location,
mm-hmm.
but like what else is here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just alone in a big room or something.
Yeah.
And then so also in some of the buildings, like the production spaces there,
yeah.
they said that they would see crazy shit or hear stuff all the time, like doors closing
oh
or just, you know,
God.
Lights would turn on and
yes.
it would be like, oh, now I have to go investigate what's going on over there to make sure that nobody's hiding out. And then in one of the buildings, somebody had hanged themselves.
Oh, God.
And then there was also a fire at one point, too. And I think somebody died. So there's a lot going on down there. It's just like anytime if you're on a lot, just straight
yes.
up just ask because it's like the greatest stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ugh.
Oof. That's so fun and spooky.
Yeah.
We
totally.
Gotta get.
I gotta remember to ask people now. Like.
Yeah. I
whenever.
Love movie ghosts because
yeah,
like,
movie
oh, we're
ghosts
all doing
great.
We're doing the exact same job you
yeah.
were.
Also, like think about that.
And a lot of this stuff is the same as it was
yeah.
when you were like
yeah.
a lot of the. Even just like
they'll build
how the grips do stuff
mm-hmm.
has been how it's been done
or
since the beginning.
For sure.
They like will reuse sets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
they like so
that was my job at Sony.
Was
storing those sets and
oh,
stuff.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like if for people listening who don't know a lot about the industry, like those places are all like They're not that different than a stage play. That there's these are sets that kind of only have their perspective from like three sides, and then they like they roll them away and they tuck them away, and they'll just repaint them for different things. But they don't rebuild it for every single show.
Yeah.
Sometimes they will if it's like a very specific. But for a lot of things, they can just reuse the flats and the sets, and like so like they store them up, and then they're like, oh, we could use this. So like you're talking about like sometimes you could be working on something. You're like, this has some history to it.
Yeah.
Go back 80, 90 years.
And on Disjointed, Dank and Dabby's apartment, some of the pieces were from Friends.
Oh, that's cool.
The Friends apartment.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Whose like- room?
The, you know the window in Monica's?
Yes.
That window was that's in awesome. Our apartment.
That's I was great. About to say that that's what I thought.
The it window blew my mind. I was like, oh, cool.
The window that's in the back of the living room. I recognize it. That's really
I
cool.
I was working on like Teen Wolf of all shows. And they just had a set with a bathroom in it. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's that bathroom from Dexter where John Lithgow like murders that
Holy
woman.
Holy shit.
And you're just like, oh, yeah, that's now just somebody's like bathroom set.
Isn't that
like,
so that
you never see that just the door opens and you see a hint of a tub.
Yeah.
It's really funny that like sometimes I'll just... I told you recently that like I was in Griffith Park one night doing a shoot, and I was like, "Why does this look so familiar?" And they're like, "E.T." And I was like, oh, "This is the scene in E.T."
That's
like,
so many that I was so just, many buildings and locations. And like I've seen this.
Yeah,
and that's
that's
haunting
Doc Brown's house
of its own, right?
Yes.
I have one more.
Go
thing.
Ahead.
Yes.
Okay, so when I was younger, and my whole family still has no idea what this is, we went up to Michigan. My parents stayed like for the summer sometimes, and we were like out renting a house out in the woods, and I had like one of those early digital cameras that had just like the 16 megabyte card, like 8 photos or something. And so we get there and we're like getting our stuff out of the car, and I just snap a picture of the house that we were staying at.
Oh fuck.
And in the background of the photo, and this is so fucking weird, is a 1930s like Red Sox player, or just like a baseball player, like walking behind us in the woods, clear as fucking day in the window. And my mom saw it, my dad saw it, and my like brothers, we were all like looking at it, and my parents were like, what the fuck is that? You know, like I was probably like 10 years old or something, and they were like, that is very, very weird. It was just so clear. It could have just been a reflection of the light, but to make it look exactly like a dude, it would take a lot.
Whoa.
It'd be a lot of
Do
random.
Do you still have that photo?
My fucking computer started smoking and it blew up.
Oh, no.
It was the ghost.
It was the ghost.
Make it smoke. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He sabotaged
you. It was
you.
So cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very weird.
Oh, whoa.
That's really crazy.
Yeah.
Ooh. I got chills. You gave me the chills a bunch. That's good.
You guys ready?
I have that effect of you.
Yeah.
You
cool,
are
man.
Freezing. Are you guys ready for a ghost story from a listener?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Okie dokie.
I was at a friend's house with another girl, and this friend had a pool table in her basement, and the basement was completely underground. There were no windows, and there was just one door to get out, to get back upstairs. So what we would do was we would turn all the lights off and walk around the pool table in the dark and try to scare each other.
Yeah,
perfect.
So we were doing this. And all of a sudden, these two red glowing eyes appeared at the end of the room near the stairs.
Oh.
We were all terrified, and we all started screaming. The eyes floated over to us, and we all ran out of the room screaming. And it was the most terrifying thing that has ever happened to me. I still, to this day, have no explanation for what happened. My friends still remember it just as vividly as I do.
Oh,
but it was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. And especially that, like, everybody saw it.
Yeah.
That was from Nisha.
Nisha.
Ooh. Nisha, that's pretty good.
That was so good.
Too
that's
scary.
Yeah, that's really, really creepy. especially if there's like only one like way into the room or whatever, because that would mean that if it was somebody coming to scare them, that they would have had to leave that way too. So if they all like ran out of there, you'd know if somebody left.
Yes.
So it couldn't have been like a friend coming and fucking with them, right?
Why do you think little kids love being scared so much?
I don't know. When I was a kid, I always wanted to play with a Ouija board.
Yeah, I was always scared of Ouija, but I did like want to do that stuff. Totally. I was like, let's go fucking hang out in a cemetery. Like, what?
Do you think it's because like,
I still love getting scared?
It's kind of like the closest like to getting high, kind of like feeling.
It's a cool rush.
Yeah.
Because I still like, I love going to haunted houses and like mazes and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
And seeing movies. I love that feeling so much. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I just want to remind you all to rate, review, subscribe on whatever podcast, because we just want to get enough listeners that people will give us VIP badges to go to haunted
go
houses.
Go to Fright Night. Yeah.
I've
never been, and I want to go.
Oh, it's so fun.
I've always been a little too poor to actually justify spending
$150. It's very expensive, but it's a blast.
It is really fun.
I hope to go this year. That is my 2018 goal.
Yeah.
That, and to finally get rid of that lump. That's terrible. That was
it's going to cost me $150 to get rid of that lump.
I just.
Or go to Halloween Horror Night.
I just want a front of the line pass. That was a little short, so do you want to listen to another one?
Hell yeah.
Sure.
This is from Joshua.
Joshua. Joshua.
Hey, guys. My name is Josh, and I love your podcast.
Thank you.
And I want to share with you my personal spooky paranormal experience.
Yes.
So a long time ago, when my family used to rent this cottage about 3 hours north of Toronto in a place by the name of Novar on a little lake called Foot Lake, because it was in the shape of a boot, my family swore that they were experiencing all sorts of paranormal crap. People would hear things, people would see things, and most sort of explicitly, they have the story about me when I was about 6 years old there. And it's not a story that I actually recall anything of myself, but a lot of different people in my family have sort of recounted the story over the years, and the details have sort of always stayed the same. So according to my family, this area or this cottage was definitely haunted by indigenous spirits or Canadian indigenous spirits based on, you know, I don't know, what they saw and what they heard. They just sort of connected the dots. And they said that one day they heard me singing in my bedroom, and they knocked on the door, and they saw me on the floor in the dark, and I was singing this song that did not sound familiar at all, and in fact sounded possibly to them, if they had to guess, sort of like first indigenous chanting you know, an indigenous music, and they sort of approached me carefully and
they were scared of you already.
Woke me up because it seemed like I was sort of sleepwalking to some extent.
So fucked up.
And they said, you know, Josh, what's going on? What are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm singing. I'm singing a song. And they were like, okay, like what song? Like, who taught you that song? And I pointed out the window into the scary dark woods, and I said, oh, they did. And
no.
I don't know if I said this exactly, because I'm sure I didn't, but something along the lines of, like, the indigenous children, they taught me this song.
Oh my
god.
And everyone was super freaked out, because it did not seem like this is something that I was inventing. It seemed very realistic to the best that they could imagine. It was not something that I was taught at school or something that I could have remembered off of TV. It sounded very detailed and very specific, and it really freaked everybody out. And it's not something my family has ever really let go of. And so that's really why I shared it with you today. Okay, I hope that you liked my story, and I like you guys.
Oh, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. That was great. That is so spooky.
Modern day kids are just going to hear like hip hop songs. Yeah, where'd you yeah. hear that?
So like, why are you rapping?
Why are you very simple, slow raps? It's like Run DMC shit.
I've heard a lot of stuff like that about like First Nations or Indigenous people or whatever, you know, and having experiences like that. Like my mom recently told me she grew up in Keokuk, Iowa, which apparently was home to a yeah. big Native population.
You can tell from the name.
Yeah, right.
Keokuk. Yeah.
And she said, she told me recently that she used to have these nightmares all the time, these like crazy dreams where she was so young, you know, growing up in like the 50s, 60s, yeah. of just like fires and like, you know, chanting and rituals and stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like very vivid, specific dreams as a kid. And that's what she used to be afraid of. She used to be afraid of like the Indians, as she said.
Oh,
I'm putting quotes around
God.
It.
Oh my God.
Yeah, isn't that so weird?
Yeah, it's really.
That's so wild.
It's really weird, like, in his story, because he says, like, he's like, I'm sure I didn't say this, but the Indigenous people, like, what did Canadians call Native America? Because we call them Native American,
I think,
but
it's
they're
First Nations.
First Nations, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I wonder what is their bad word that they're not supposed to say that they used?
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know.
Maybe it was Indian, because of the French Indian War, right?
I see. Yeah.
So, like, oh,
I
probably.
Think it probably.
Yeah. Just wasn't sure. But, oh, God. Kids are too scary, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime a kid gets into the equation, it's like, fuck this.
No. Yeah. Never going to happen.
I don't want a ghost kid around.
I do not want a ghost kid around.
I will say that, like, I do love hearing kids tell me, like, mm-hmm. like my niece and nephew will tell me like a scary thing that happened, and sure. I really love listening to
yeah.
like their explanation and be like, well, what do you think it was? Mm-hmm. Like and just to like quiz them about it. So I think like,
and a lot of times they're not scared, which is not, you yeah. know, where it's just like, oh, that little boy in the corner
right.
who's like digging in his hand with a knife. He told me this thing. He's like,
well,
what?
There's something about like, children and animals that's kind of frightening, because it's almost like they're so pure. They're not making anything up. So
yes.
like
yeah.
when a dog just like stares at a wall or
yeah,
like
sure.
a little kid says they see something, you're like, I don't think that kid's lying.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Why would they?
Yeah. Whereas when an adult tells a story, you're a bit like, oh, you're
embellishing.
Yeah, all
right, dude. You're going through some shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like they would God, what did they say when they would say they would see my grandmother? They say they saw Mama going into the closet a lot.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Which it was in like Avery, my niece's room. So mm-hmm. it would have been my grandmother's closet where she kept like her like fancy stuff
sure, yeah.
in like the guest room.
Wow.
Oh my
she's
God.
She's like, she just, Mama lives in the closet. I was like, well, no, she does. Oh, but that makes sense. That's
wow.
where she kept her wigs.
Oh,
wow.
Where she kept her good wigs.
Ooh.
And her fancy dresses.
Nice. Good
my
wigs.
My grandmother
fancy dresses.
Wanted to be Dolly Parton so bad.
That's a great
and
desire.
Before she died, she got to meet Dolly Parton and aww. She just cried and
oh,
cried.
That's amazing.
She said, you're so beautiful.
I love
Dolly
Or she
Dolly said,
Parton.
Pretty. You're so pretty. And Dolly Parton said, well, so are you.
Aww.
And
Dolly Parton is so rad.
Yeah.
yeah.
More people need to want to be like her.
Oh, she's the best.
she's the best.
I saw her live. It was great. She does stand
too.
Up. Like, she
yeah.
does stand
oh,
up.
It's
she's
a
got one jokes.
Woman show.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing.
Someone yeah. at UCB, David Phillips, used to write for her.
Yes.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
that's so
yeah.
cool.
Do you know David Phillips? Uh-uh. He writes on
he's
Brooklyn
great.
Nine-Nine.
Okay, cool.
But he was a UCB student. His dad was one of her physicians, like
okay.
long time mm-hmm. physicians. And like when she found out he was doing comedy, she was like, I think he like wrote some of her show stuff. But
yeah.
like she gets people to write for her.
It's great. Yeah, she had some really good jokes.
Oh, it was so fun.
Yeah, like I'm having a chest cold, which is like a problem with, you know.
She's like, when you have one my size,
yeah.
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
great.
Oh, she's so rad.
She's the best. Yeah. Morgan,
to
this
Dolly.
Was so fun.
Yeah, this
yeah,
was a blast.
Thanks
so for
having much.
Me. Yeah.
Where should people find you?
I'm at Totally Morgan on pretty much everything. But go to my Instagram. That's where, like, you
that's
know.
That's where you're putting
where
the good.
That's where all
that's
the good shit
are.
Happens.
Totally Morgan.
Yeah.
Totally Morgan. Thanks
yeah.
so much
thanks
for coming
so much.
On.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.